Hello everyone, welcome back to LD at Matter podcast show. This is your favorite show on mental health, interpersonal skills and lifestyle. I'm Comfy Flex, your favorite podcaster. Today I have brought an interesting topic and you would not want to miss anything about it. Stay tuned. It all started from when I do something and it doesn't pay attention to them, or when it doesn't compliment me when he is with his friends, not even caring to show me off. How else do you want me to take it when it comes to my workstation and just disorganized things? I don't get to meet whatever I keep somewhere wherever I've kept it. It's so disorganized. And yet, I nag, I complain a lot, but there are no changes. I even withdrawn from him so as he could see what I'm trying to tell him. But still, he would not budge. Well, it just reminds me of how my parents have treated me. Sad enough, I thought it would be better, but guess I was wrong, because it's quite the truth. Nobody loves me. Alright guys, so the story that I just narrated is a small illustration of how a traumatized person or someone who has been triggered might feel when you do things that are normal to you, to them. So the things that you see as normal are not normal to them, especially when the situation is similar to what has traumatized the person. So today's topic is what is emotional trigger and how to manage it. So let's get it straight into it. Now, emotional triggers, the signs are quite obvious when the current situation takes them off, because mostly they are old memories, they are, you know, unpleasant experiences or events that this person is trying to repress. So sometimes the signs that tells you that this person is about to get triggered or is about to have an outburst, you see it in hysteria, crying, screaming, throwing tantrums, and, you know, showing anger outburst. In fact, withdrawal is also one of the signs that shows that someone might actually have been triggered by what you've said, what they've seen, or what they've heard. So if you have ever had this kind of sign showing up in a friend, it may be what we psychologically term as emotional trigger. So what is emotional trigger? An emotional trigger is anything like memories, experience, or actions that set off an overwhelming amount of a negative emotion or an emotional reaction in a swift shift from the current mood to those intense emotions. Now, emotional triggers are normally associated with PTSD. And if you actually followed my psychological discourse about PTSD, you would know what I'm talking about. PTSD stands for post-traumatic syndrome disorder. And under the classification of anxiety disorder, emotional triggers can be associated with anxiety. So how do you avoid having traumatic experience flashback affect how you deal with people, affect how you think about things, affect how you perceive things and how you perceive yourself? To avoid treating traumatic experience indifferently, there is a need for you to be enlightened about what this emotional state, emotional triggers are, and how to identify them and how to manage them. So, LD Arts and good mental health are underrated. Yet, they are the important aspects of our being that must not be neglected. Many people don't pay attention to who they are psychologically, mentally, to what they perceive themselves to be. Because while they go out there in the world doing the normal things, doing what they do, they forget about their self. And the self that I'm talking about is not your physical being now. It's their emotional state, their mental being. Now, informative awareness about your mental health helps you cope better with adverse situation. Because once you're mindful of how your emotions roll into each other, when you take time to create a mood board for yourself, you're watchful, you are aware, you know what your problem is. Many people want to know what is wrong with them, but the signs are so obvious. They're not just seeing it because they're not being mindful, they're not paying attention, they're not aware of this. And that is why most of these emotional triggers happen in an embarrassing way, and sometimes it destroys relationships along the way. Now, as the name implies, emotional triggers are more like a ticking time bomb, that when you touch the wrong wiring, you know, in action movies, because I love action movies a lot, when they're trying to detonate a bomb, they try to avoid touching the wrong wires, because cutting the wrong wires means setting the bomb off. And once you set the bomb off, that's it. It blows everything it comes in contact with, both the person carrying the bomb, the person around it, the building, anything that falls in the line of action, it takes it out. So that is how emotional triggers are. They are ticking time bomb. When you're not careful, when you touch the wrong wiring, it sets off. And when it does, it blows up a part or all of anything associated with it and affecting anything around it. So this ticking time bomb can be a trauma that has not been addressed well, or that has not even been talked about yet, or a repressed graphic scenes that are gory, explicit, you know, nauseating, and it can be a mental injury that has not healed. Many of us carry a lot of mental injuries, mental wounds that we're not yet ready to peruse or to, you know, give it time to heal. So, emotional trigger situations, that is the situations that emotional triggers can occur in, yeah, when the person feels rejected and betrayed, such situation can trigger past events or past experience or past memories this person have about it. When a person is treated unfairly, they can also be triggered. When a person feels helpless, powerless, or constrained, or, you know, when they feel claustrophobic, they actually can be triggered. Another situation that can trigger emotional imbalance is when someone is depressed. A depressed person have this diverse mood swing. And I can tell you, I've experienced it. I know what I'm talking about. So an emotionally depressed somebody is not imbalanced. I mean, it's not balanced. So they usually get ticked off in a way you don't expect. Lack of control. When someone feels they don't have a say in things, they can't get their opinion, you know, approved. They are not being mindful of. Nobody is giving them the chance to do what they want. They feel like they don't have a say in things. They can easily be triggered, you know, back to the memories of what they have experienced in the past. Being ignored and excluded out of things to trigger many people. I once had some flashbacks when I was in school. Anytime I'm in a group or I'm in a discussion with some of my friends, and while we're discussing or while we're talking, they suddenly just, you know, neglect me or whatever I'm saying, nobody's paying attention to me. I withdraw. I instantly withdraw. I just give them that space that, oh, I'm not needed. Oh, they don't want to hear what I have to say. Well, some of my friends, they notice that and they try to, you know, call my attention about that. Okay, Comfort, what are you trying to say? You want us to do this? Or they just try to include me back. Well, that's for some of those that know what it feels like to not be included in things, especially when you have an idea about something. Do you feel like you feel it when you have an idea about something and people are discussing about it around you, but they're not asking you for your opinion, they're not talking about it with you? You feel like, okay, well, I know about this thing and it's something I can do. Why are they not asking me? You ask yourself that question, right? Okay, it's normal for you to feel that way. But that does not mean that because you feel neglected or you feel excluded out of a discussion or out of a conversation means you are triggered. Unless that situation is associated with whatever trauma you have passed through in the past. And you feel like, oh, something is about to happen because you have been neglected. Oh, I'm going to feel lonely and all that. So another situation that can trigger, that can cause emotional triggers, is disapproval and criticism. I think almost everyone, okay, don't let me say almost everyone. I think 80% of the world's population have issues with criticism. Not everybody takes criticism as a good thing. No, as a good thing, I mean, not everybody. At one point in time in my life, I don't like when someone criticizes my work or criticize me or disapprove of me, of my work, because one, I don't like to impress. So when you do that, I become defensive. I just don't want to hear whatever you want to say. Just like, keep your thoughts to yourself. I'm okay, I'm fine. That's your problem. It's your opinion about me. It's not my problem. But I know better now. Another situation that can cause emotional trigger is feeling unwanted. This usually happens in relationships when you feel your partner is not paying attention to you, they're not communicating with you, you don't have heart-to-heart discussion, you just feel like, why am I just in this relationship? Because I don't see my usefulness yet. When someone, especially in the midst of a group, they don't have a sense of purpose, they don't know what they're doing there. They feel unwanted, they feel like they don't have control over anything there. So they might withdraw or sometimes they might lash out. Another situation that can cause emotional trigger is being pestered or smothered. I have an issue with that one time when I was in college. When you pester me too much, I feel like you are choking me. Like, please give me breathing space. Let me breathe. Like, especially when you're trying to talk to me about something. Maybe I'm concentrating on something else and you're trying to talk to me and you're like tapping me that I'm talking to. Oh my goodness. I might end up just screaming into your face that, stop, you are pestering me, you're disturbing me, you're choking me, just give me space. I can hear what you're saying. I will get back to you. And sometimes it could be that when we are trying to say something, we are trying to communicate and someone is not listening, they are not paying attention to what we are saying. All they are trying to do is put their point to you clearly. I feel pestered at that point. I'm like, okay, I've heard you, but you're not hearing me. This is what the situation is at my own end. I'll get back to you. Can we just leave it at that? So some people are emotionally triggered by such situation. Another situation that triggers emotional imbalance is the feeling of insecurity. When people are in a place or in an environment, or they are in a situation whereby they feel like they are going to be taunted, they are going to be mocked, they are going to be made jest of, they tend to get triggered, especially those that have been bullied. Bullying victims in secondary school are easily triggered by this kind of a situation. They feel they are locked up in this hole. They can't get out. They are going to get injured. They are going to get damaged and all. The other situation that can also trigger emotions is loss of independence. When someone is feeling like they are depending too much on you, they just want to, you know, they just want to be a somebody. They want to feel important. So that feeling of depending on you always is getting to them, is making them, all right, so there's an example that I'm going to make now. There's a story I read somewhere. The woman was raped when she was in the university by a boyfriend, but it got to the part that when she got married, anytime her spouse wants her to like depend on him, she ticks off. She just don't want to be dependent on him. But the man does not understand that it was because of what has happened to her, because she already depended too much on her boyfriend while in the university, and he took advantage of her, raped her, left her, you know, broke her heart and all. So she has learned from that experience that whenever someone feels that they should depend on them, they are trying to, you know, get something from it. So understanding that sometimes when someone does not have independence, they can easily be triggered, helps you understand people better when they tell you that they don't want to depend on you, they don't want to burden you with their problem, they don't want to tell you about something, because they feel like when they tell you about this thing, they are only bothering you. And to you, you might feel it's normal for you to talk to me about something, it's normal for you to ask for it, but to them, asking for help means you want something in return due to what they have gone through, due to what they have passed through. So the last but not the least situation I'll talk about now is being crowded, being overwhelmed by someone. Maybe the presence of this person is becoming incessant, or the calling, the, you know, some people are easily triggered by that, to be like, oh, I don't know, why is he calling me all the time? Why is she calling me? I just want a breathing space. You know, some people break up because of that. When you're always calling, you're always trying to, you know, you're just doing what you feel is okay. You're doing what is normal to you. You feel like calling them shows you love them, you care for them, but to them, you are triggering something they don't want to remember. So sometimes it's very, very important when we are sensitive to the people we are dealing with, because people are different. What works for Taiwo might not work for Kehinde. All right, so now we have talked about the emotional, the, you know, the behavioral signs that you will see. Let's talk about the physiological signs, the physical signs you will see that will tell you that this person might be going into, you know, emotional flashbacks. One is the sweating. They sweat a lot in their palms, you know, they are jittery, they are rubbing their hands in their clothes, they are trying to, you know, tick off their sweat and all. Sometimes they have upset stomach, unsettled stomach. They just want to, you know, throw up. They want to use the toilet and all. They also feel lightheaded, dizziness. You know, they feel they are being crowded in. They feel closed up in a confined place that they cannot escape. And also they have jumping pulse, pounding heart, quick or fast paced breathing. They breathe fast. You can feel it in the way their chest heave up and down. They're like all right. So when you see people with these signs, don't tell them that, what is your problem? Calm down now, guy. No, that will not even help the situation. You can try to tell them that, calm down, take a breath, you know, count, do, you know, whatever breathing exercise you know about, just try to tell it to them. You can hold your hands, tell them to look at you, you know. Let them feel that you are there to stay with them while they are going through that emotional turbulence. All right. So now we have come to the part where I really, really want you to pay attention to, and that is managing your emotional triggers, not showing your emotions in an outburst or in a fit in a public place. We all love to avoid embarrassment. In fact, I've written a blog post about avoiding embarrassment. We all do. We don't want to be embarrassed publicly. I don't want to be embarrassed publicly. I don't know about you, but I don't love to be embarrassed publicly. So the first thing you have to do to manage your emotional triggers is to accept that you are an emotional being. It is who you are. It is part of your being for you to be emotional. It is not a bad thing for you to be emotional. It's wrong to feel that because you are emotional than your neighbor means you are not good or you are broken or you're not normal. It is essential that we carry our emotions. It's just according to different references, human beings differs in the way they carry their emotions. Some of us, we wear it on our sleeve. We carry it on our face. We visibly show it out. Why some of us, we talk it in. And those that can talk in their emotional triggers, those that can handle it better, they are already emotional intelligent, which you also can be if you are willing to go for it. So to manage triggers and keep them from exploding, you have to first see yourself as normal. Because it only gets worse when you see yourself as someone who is not normal, someone who is sick, someone who is traumatized. You have to feel that emotions. Yes, show it if you have to show it. You are an emotional being. That's why you are a human being. You carry emotions within you. So it is okay for you to feel emotional. So don't ever feel bad that you are emotional. You're going through emotions. You have emotions running through you. No, don't ever feel that way. The second thing for you to do after accepting the fact that you're an emotional being is taking a breather, finding your breathing space, creating that your restful moment, taking that calming dose. You need it. When you are high on a dose or you have sugar rush, your cautions are thrown in the wind. You don't care what happened. You are high. You are accelerated. That is exactly how it is when you are triggered. Your emotions are on the highest level of the spectrum. And nobody can tame you unless you will the inner strength to restrain yourself. You have to trust the strength within you to tame yourself. As much as people around you will try to calm you down, that calm down, just calm down, you will feel triggered the more. But it is within you, it is you yourself that will tell yourself to, guy, calm down. Life, not too hard. Alright, so if you are triggered, before you show your reactions, there is a split second between the time when you are triggered and the time you act. So that split second is enough for you to mental talk yourself into calming down. Breathe. Comfort. Just breathe. 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 Breathe in. Breathe out. Like that. You do that and you feel that by the time you are calm, you react better. You don't react in an irrational way. You think through what you are going to do next. Unlike the initial instinctual act you would have put in place. Then to the next step is tracing it back to Genesis. Never neglect the source of your anger or the source of your trigger. No, don't do that. Ignoring it means you are only compounding the problem. Once you have that trigger, go back to the beginning of it all. Why do I have to feel threatened by my spouse because he didn't say thank you after I cleaned the house? He didn't say, welcome, my love. How was your day after I got home? Why? Could there have been an experience from your past, from childhood, from your exes? Could there have been that? Could there have been the feeling of being left out, not being appreciated, not seen, not wanted? So when you trace it back to the beginning, you see your triggers in a new angle. You don't see it in that way of, oh, I don't know what is going on with me. Nobody likes me. They all hate me. You see it in an aspect that, though whatever has happened might be similar to what has happened to me in the past, I don't think this person means it that way. Another thing you have to do after you trace it back is never to ignore the triggers. No one knows you better than yourself. Once the trigger happens, as much as you are going to trace it back, you have to know it. You have to know it. You have to be truthful to yourself. You have to know that it is normal for what has happened in the past to still bring out those emotions in you. But you have to make sure you can identify, you can pinpoint why this current situation has triggered that past memories. And another thing you have to do is leaving the scene. You are not a robot. Don't act like a superstar. Don't act like a superhero. Leave the scene. When you are being triggered in an environment or a situation is triggering an emotion that you don't want, leave the scene. Don't act strong when you are not. That leaving the scene does not mean you are weak. Does not mean you are cowed. It means you need a breathing space. You need to think. You need to see the situation in a new light. And you cannot do it when you are seeing what has caused the trigger right in front of you. It could be a person. It could be an element. It could be an object. If you're still seeing that cause of trigger in your sight, you are not going to be thinking clearly. The fog that is covering your thinking, your perception, is still going to be there. So leave the scene. Don't act superior. Don't act strong. It is okay for you to leave. It means you are strong. Actually, it takes a whole lot of strength for you to leave a situation, for you to leave a scene, for you to leave an environment that has triggered you. Because instantly when you're triggered, you either withdraw or you burst out. So it takes enough inner strength for you to pull yourself out of that situation and go somewhere you can think clearly, you can breathe. Now, after leaving, what do you think you should do? Once you leave, you are able to breathe, you are calm, you have think things through, you have seen things in a different angle. Put a lid on it. Put the past in the past. Don't let the past control your future, your present. No. What has happened has happened. And it's not going to happen again unless you give it a chance to happen. So, don't let that control you. Don't let that limit you. Don't let that put a bane on your strength. Why you keep holding on to the past? Might be because you're not healed. Then go for healing. Don't just be sentimental. You don't want to be pitied. You don't want people to feel sorry for you. Then don't feel sorry for yourself. Get healing if that is what will help you to put a lid, a proper lid on that past that is putting emotional bane on you. Most of it all, you confront it. Let it go. Confront it. Confront it. If you have to confront, if you have to fight it head on, go on. Because as much as you're going to do that and gain your peace, you should give it much attention. Last but not the least would be talking about it. Initially, it would have been something I wouldn't mention, because I'm also the kind of person that I hate when people pity me. I hate when people feel like they want to help me. Sometimes I just want to tell you about what is going on with me, not needing you to start advising me or therapizing me. No, I just want you to be there. Listen. So if that helps you, if that gives you the chance to look at things differently, then talk about it. Shout it. Say it out loud. It might help you. If you are afraid of being left alone, then shout it out. I don't want to be left alone. Talk. Say it out loud. It helps. It helps. You are a human being for a reason. You talk, you listen, you reason, you act, you do a lot of things. So why then don't you want to do what every human being do, which is talking? Talk about it. Or sometimes they call it rant. Rant about it. And in case you feel tested talking at first about it to someone you know, you could look for a stranger that you trust instinctually, then tell them about it. Or you'll find a community like mine. I have a community on Telegram for people to just rant. It's LD Hearts Matter page for you to talk about whatever is bothering you, whatever is going on with you, without anybody knowing. You have anonymity to talk about your problem, and nobody's going to hear about it. Nobody's going to advise you. Nobody's going to act like they know whatever is going on with you better than you do. Nobody's going to act like they can help you unless you desire the help, unless you seek for advice. So I think with these few steps, if you are able to implement it, you would be able to manage your emotional triggers better. I've been in a similar situation while I was in college, and if I had actually known about the steps earlier, maybe I would have acted better. Maybe I would have seen the situation in a good angle. Maybe I wouldn't have embarrassed myself. In fact, some of the first impression I had on people while in college was tainted by my emotional triggers. I don't want that for you. I don't want people to, see you and have this thing in mind that, oh, she might get angry suddenly. I don't know what happens. She will just shout, or she might just not talk to you again. Talk about it if that's what will help you. If you would like to join my community and, make use of this ranting hall, you can get to me on Facebook at ConfloTubeTunes. ConfloTubeTunes. I'm also on Instagram at ConfiFlex underscore pen up, and at Conflo underscore TubeTunes. I'm also on WhatsApp. You can reach out to me. You can drop a comment and I'll get you to connect with me on WhatsApp. But I do hope you keep your heart healthy and you take out every residual matters out of it. I remain your favorite, one and only, sweet, comforting Comfy Flex. Till next time you hear from me again, remain safe and blessed. Bye.